Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
What is up, Packer fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all new episode of the Packaday Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Packaday Podcast. As always, thank you so much for being here. It is a new day, which means a new all-pro caliber player has requested a trade off of their team and has been granted the opportunity to seek out a trade. And it just so happens that on this wonderful Friday, that player is one Trey Hendrickson of the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to break down him in great detail today. Before we get there, huge shout out to Rod Thompson, Matt Nelson, and Travis Fitch for becoming brand new Packaday Podcast YouTube members. Thank you guys so much for that. If you haven't checked those memberships yet, make sure to do so. We just had our members only Q&A on Thursday. We had a members only video earlier this week. So going to try to do a little bit more of that. If you're interested in it, check it out over on the YouTube page. If not, no worries, no harm to fall. Like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews, and always being here is always more than enough. So thank you so much for that. Some NFL news before we get into Trey Hendrickson. Of course, the biggest news is Trey Hendrickson, that he is officially on the block and Cincinnati has decided to prioritize T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase at wide receiver rather than Trey Hendrickson on defense. It's an interesting scenario. I think if I were Cincy, I would probably go with Ja'Marr Chase and Trey Hendrickson and work to try to find a T. Higgins trade instead. Probably work with New England, see if I could get some big time draft capital there and then stay a little bit more balanced. I kind of feel like on offense, if I have Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow build up that offensive line, I should be pretty good. And then Trey Hendrickson and then maybe build up a couple other pieces around that and I could be really good. That's probably the direction I would go. But I also understand Higgins is younger. You can't get enough wide receivers right now. Can't get enough pass rushers either. But it's an interesting decision by Cincinnati. Probably one that I have some question marks in regards to, but it's not like the most egregious decision in the history of the NFL by any stretch of the imagination. So interesting decision by them nonetheless, but Trey Hendrickson is on the trade block. And as we've been talking about with all these players that are quote unquote on the trade block, once you get there, you're usually not coming back. There are rare circumstances in which it happens, but more often than not, the team will either find a trade. And if they don't, this is not a scenario where he would be released. This would be a trade, or then they will pull him back, but you're likely just going to give him to the highest bidder at this point in time. But that's the biggest piece of news. Jaguars release Evan Engram. They also traded Christian Kirk to the Texans. So they announced that they were going to release Christian Kirk, which sometimes is a precursor to like, hey, does anyone want this guy? And in this case, the Texans, which is an interesting one because the Texans are in the same division as Jacksonville. The Texans say, yeah, we'll take him. And I wonder if, actually, let me get to number three here, and then we'll go back to Christian Kirk. Number three is that Tutu Atwell, the Rams wide receiver, who's like kind of been their number four wide receiver, signs a one-year, $10 million fully guaranteed contract. So I kind of wonder if the market for wide receivers with what we saw, you know, from Khalil Shakir in Buffalo to now Tutu Atwell is getting 1 year, $10 million. And I get these are Tutu Atwell and Christian Kirk are not the same type of receivers and they're not necessarily in the same vicinity as one another. But if Tutu Atwell is going for $10 million, Khalil Shakir is going for $15 million, all of a sudden you look at somebody like Christian Kirk, you're like, man, you know, $15 million is not that bad. And you have to have an opening at slot wide receiver. And clearly with what's gone on with Tank Dell, what's gone on with Stephon Diggs, like the Houston Texans have a need for wide receivers there. And I think Christian Kirk can make some sense for CJ Stroud. It makes sense. It is, again, interesting that they traded him in the division, but you do wonder if these high-cost free agent wide receivers, and Shakir wasn't even a free agent yet, but if these big contracts are not making teams do a double take and say, hey, we might need to recalculate here a little bit and say, hey, maybe Christian Kirk at you know, $15 million is worth a seventh-round pick. And that's exactly what happened. Texans decided that he was. He'll be a primarily slot wide receiver for them this year. Again, Jacksonville trades him in division and then also releases Evan Engram on the same day. And you're Trevor Lawrence, you're thinking, man, just trade away Christian Kirk, Evan Engram. Like Brian Thomas Jr., by the way, invest in Brian Thomas Jr. He is going to have a massive season because they trade away everyone else. I'm sure they're going to restock the cupboard in some capacity, but even still, very, very interesting situation there. With the Tutu Atwell deal, though, 1 year, $10 million, this is just another situation where the league is already telling you this is going to be a crazy free agency period. Alaric Jackson's going for 19 mil a year. Tutu Atwell's going for 10 mil. Khalil Shakir's going for 15 mil per year. We are seeing some high-priced re-signings. Just look what Max Crosby just got on the open market. Like, actually, not even on the open market, excuse me, but just to go back to the Raiders. There are going to be some heavy, heavy prices. And when, again, you have a number four wide receiver that hasn't done much in the league, getting a 10 mil fully guaranteed contract on a one-year deal, that changes some things. And I'm very interested to see what that means for DK Metcalf, what that means for Davante Adams. Like, if you're thinking like Davante Adams might go for like, you know, 17 mil per year or something like that on what, a two-year deal? So 2 years, 34 for Davante, 1 year's 10 for Tutu Atwell. Like, we're not even the same stratosphere of wide receiver here. So it's going to be very interesting with this market the way that it is, just how everything unfolds over the course of the next week or two. And like I said, get ready for the funny money. I've been screaming it from the top of the mountains. It is going to happen, and there are going to be some massive deals that I think are going to really surprise some people. Speaking of a massive deal that could surprise some people, let's get to Trey Hendrickson, because some surprise, of course, that he's getting traded in the first place, but he's going to get one of those huge deals as well to whatever team does acquire him. Let's go over his profile today, his scouting report. I'll go over everything that I saw on tape from him. It should go without saying, very fun player. You know, 17 and a half sacks this past season. You just look at where he stood in the sack rankings, excuse me, and he was just so far above and beyond. There's two other players that are, you know, right behind him, not, you know, by three sacks or more. And then like everyone else is just like five sacks or more. And the vast majority are even seven sacks or more. Like, it is remarkable what he was able to achieve last year in actually getting to the quarterback and forcing sacks, not just pressures, but sacks, in a year where teams were ultra focused on making sure that defensive ends, especially really talented ones like Trey Hendrickson, were not going to affect the quarterback in a major way. Lots of chips, double teams, even triple teams at times. Trey Hendrickson just went out and said, screw, I'm just going to get 17 and a half sacks anyway. He was pretty remarkable in what he was able to achieve last year. As far as that profile goes, he is 30 years old. He will turn 31 in December. I've already seen some stuff of like he's 32, he's 33, and he's 30. He's 30. He's still over that, you know, unfortunate magical number of 30, but he will be 31 in December as well. How much that matters is going to be in the eye of the beholder a little bit. To me, I think one of the real things to kind of consider this offseason is Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack is probably going to get a two-year, pretty significant, you know, money deal this offseason. And he's 34. And Khalil Mack, over the course of the last 4 years, has still been really, really, really good. So I don't necessarily look at Trey Hendrickson and say, oh, 30 years old, way past his prime. When you get those elite level pass rushers, a lot of times, like we saw with Khalil Mack, they're able to keep that going. And Hendrickson's blend of athleticism, but also skill at the position, really makes me believe that he's going to age well. And just how much so, we're going to get to more in just a moment. 6'4", 270, good height, good weight, good body composition. By far and away, I don't even need to tell you this, it looks the part. Doesn't even matter if it looks the part, because he plays the part incredibly well. He's a Packers-type edge rusher all day, every day. Had a 9.53 relative athletic score coming out of college. And like I said, wins with some height, weight, speed, but also wins with technique as well. Like, his technique is very good, and he is a very talented player, no matter what way you slice it, with, again, both not only the talent that he possesses, but also what he's really done to master his craft at defensive end in the NFL. From a PFF standpoint, he played 823 snaps this past year, had 514 pass rush snaps, so it was very clear they tried to predominantly get him in on pass rush snaps, but he's a good run defender. Not a great run defender, but a good run defender. Had an 88.1 overall PFF grade, 65.9 run defense grade, which is above average. Remember, 60s an average. Had a 43.9 tackling grade. It shows up a little bit. I wouldn't be too concerned about it based on how he plays and just the impact that he has. A 90.4 pass rush grade. Had 83 pressures this past year. 83 pressures. They actually charted him with 18 sacks. They don't do half sacks. So 18 sacks by PFF standards. 16 hits, 49 hurries. Also had 32 stops and 4 batted passes. He was a machine. Now, I mentioned that, you know, he continues to get better with age and, you know, or at least he, you know, there's no signs of slowing down and he should age well. Well, about that, this is Trey Hendrickson's PFF grade by year. 60, I'm going to see if I can get this here. 61.5, 65.1, 68.3, 70.9, 73.4, 82.9, 82.3, ever so slightly down, 88.1. Just up almost every single year, year over year. 61.5, 65.1, 68.3, 79, 70.9, 73.4, 82.9, 82.3. The only time he took a step back, and then 88.1. Just a consistent increase in upward trajectory. And it's because he continues to master his craft. All right, time out just for a moment, by the way. A lot of angst, frustration, nervousness over one LVN, right? Now, he hasn't quite got, I don't think, to that 61.5 and 65.1, you know, PFF grades that, you know, even Hendrickson had in his first couple seasons. Van Ness's first two seasons had a 62.3 and 53.5. So just like his first year was actually a little bit better than Hendrickson's. His second was definitely worse. But edge rushers have a propensity of sometimes taking a little ramp up time. And then once they figure it out, sometimes they get a go-to move and they get that go-to move going, especially when you're a freak athlete like Hendrickson was, like LVN is, you get that go-to move. And then you get that going, and then teams maybe start to figure that out a little bit, and then you figure out a counter to that move. I'm not saying LVN is going to be that. I'm just saying it, like, let's say I think it was the Saints who initially had Hendrickson, right? If they would have had him, and if they would have spent like a top 20 pick on him, right? In those first couple seasons, you're looking at 61.5 grade, 65.1, 22 pressures his first year, 11 pressures his second year. What would everyone have been saying? Oh my God, this guy's such a bust. He's not going to play well. Like, if I were a betting person today, am I betting that LVN's going to turn into Trey Hendrickson? No, I am not putting any money on that whatsoever. But I just want to remind you, with edge defenders, this stuff does happen. And sometimes it just takes that one move, that one just game slowing down a little bit, or that, you know, just one progression. And all of a sudden you go from pedestrian to kind of frisky and freaky very, very fast. Hopefully LBN's getting frisky and freaky sooner rather than later. I swear to God, this is a G-rated podcast. Hopefully that's sooner rather than later, and LVN can really be that impact type player. But it's just a great reminder that sometimes with these type of players, there is a little bit of ramp up time. Fingers crossed that's the case with LVN, and we start seeing that breakout in 2025. Back to Hendrickson here on timeout. Pressures by season. 22 his first year, then 11, then 30, then 50, then 87, 74, 79, and 83. He has put four consecutive seasons together of 74 or more pressures. Hey friends, all football season we talk about all the amazing options that Prize Picks has available and the multiple different stat categories and promotions that are there for you to take advantage of. But it's worth noting that Prize Picks has you set for all of your favorite sports, not just football, and it is a great time of year to get invested in college basketball, soccer, pro hoops, and much, much more. And while there's never a bad time to sign up, right now you can download the app and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. So who are you taking for Prize Picks this week? For me, I'm going with Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball to put on a show on Wednesday night, Evan Mobley to dominate on Friday, and David Pastrnak to have a massive game for Boston on Thursday. No matter what season it is, just make sure that you don't forget to download the Prize Picks app and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app, using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. As I mentioned, 83 pressures this past year. Green Bay's top two defenders, Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark, their top two pressure getters this past year. Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark combined, their top two players combined 83 pressures. Trey Hendrickson did that on his lonesome. We're talking again, your top two players, Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark combined, had the same amount of pressures as Trey Hendrickson. Imagine adding that to Green Bay's defense. 83 pressures, as many as Gary and Hendrickson combined. And not to mention, imagine now that the focus on Gary and Kenny Clark scoots over to Trey Hendrickson. And it's not like there was a player in Cincinnati who can be like, well, yeah, Trey Hendrickson was that good because look at all the great defensive talent that he had along. No, Trey Hendrickson was the guy every offense was focused on when they were playing against him. It'll be the same thing in Green Bay. So now everyone's focusing on Hendrickson. He's still going to get his 70, 80 pressures. And now the 83 pressures that you got from Clark and Gary combined, and you know, potentially for Wyatt and some of the other ones, now imagine what that looks like, because they're not getting as many double teams and chips and everything else. Seems like a not so bad idea, right? And imagine a pass rush of Gary and Hendrickson on the edge with Clark and Wyatt in the middle, or Wyatt and Brooks, or Clark and Brooks, like a lot of different versions of that could work very, very well. If you're not enticed by that, if you're not being like, oh my goodness, that kind of sounds pretty amazing, I don't know what to tell you. It would be a complete game changer for Jeff Hafley's defense. That 17 and a half sacks, by the way, who are some players that we've talked about this offseason that Green Bay could go get? We talked about Max Crosby for a while up until he got that new contract. We talked about Josh Sweat yesterday. We talked about Dayo Odegbo. One of these days, I'm going to get that last name fully functioning. We talked about all three of those players as players Green Bay could go out and get maybe via trade or free agency, right? Crosby plus Sweat plus Odegbo, 18.5 sacks combined last year. Hendrickson had 17.5. It just goes to show you the type of impact player that he is. His overall PFF grade was an 88.1. As I mentioned, that puts him 10th amongst edge defenders. The nine players that were ahead of him: Aiden Hutchinson, Miles Garrett, TJ Watt, Nick Bosa, Khalil Mack, Micah Parsons, Jared Verse, Highsmith from the Steelers, and then Will Anderson from the Texans. Those were the nine players that were ahead of him in overall grade. The four players that were ahead of him from a pass rush grade of his 90.4, Aiden Hutchinson, Miles Garrett, Micah Parsons. I'm going to give you a minute. Can you guess who the fourth person was? I'm going to give you just a second here. I'm not going to give you more. Pause it if you need to. But the top five: Aiden Hutchinson, Miles Garrett, Micah Parsons. Number five was Hendrickson. Number four, Nick Herbig for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who absolutely, like, he's a really interesting pass rusher. If you've never had the opportunity to watch him play in the NFL, or obviously for Wisconsin back in the day, very unique pass rusher. Does not really look the part. A little bit on the smaller side, very quick, a lot of different moves at his disposal, and he gives a lot of offensive tackles a ton of trouble. But Nick Herbig, number four on that list, kudos to him. But Hutchinson, Garrett, Parsons, we can kind of take Herbig out as a part-time player, even if you want to, and put Hendrickson as that number four, and that's where he is from a pass rush standpoint. We are talking about a elite all-pro, first-team all-pro caliber defensive end still at his age. And again, we showed already that age continues, or he continues to get better with age. I don't know where that stops. Maybe it's this year, but if it does continue for a couple more years, imagine that he might still have some growth to go, which is kind of scary to think about. Of course, the two things that you need to think about as well are, we know he's good, right? That kind of goes without saying. I'm not breaking any news to anyone here. But the contract and the trade compensation, what is it going to actually take to get Trey Hendrickson into Green Bay? Well, I think, first of all, the Max Crosby contract is a great starting point here. 3 years, $106.5 million on the extension. Now, Crosby turns 28 in August. Hendrickson's already 30 right now, turns 31 in December. There is a little bit of a discrepancy in age, which would maybe make you give a little bit more towards Max Crosby. Hendrickson, though, had the better season than Max Crosby. I think it's in the same vicinity. Give or take $10 million. Maybe it's 3 years, 96. Maybe it's 3 years, 116. But somewhere in that range is probably what you're looking at. The point being, it's going to be a big, big, massive, huge contract. That's what you're looking at for Hendrickson. And if you're Green Bay, if you're a fan of the Packers, which is why you're here, right? You have to think of it in this terms. Like, if you're taking that big contract for Trey Hendrickson, you might have a little bit left over for like a mid-tier signing, but this is your free agency. This is your big signing. This is your, you're not going to go get, you know, Josh Jacobs. Well, we need three players. Well, you're getting Trey Hendrickson, and you're going to give up some draft capital as well along the way. Maybe a Hendrickson and like a Paulson Adebo, if Adebo's contract is, you know, right in the mid-tier range or just slightly above that, maybe something like that. But for the most part, Trey Hendrickson is going to be the gist of your offseason if you were to go in this direction. As far as trade compensation goes, there's a couple different trades to look at. And I'll say this right away. When I did the live Q&A for members yesterday, and everyone can go watch it now once the members Q&A is done, I put it live for everyone. It's just live for members only. I thought it was going to take a first plus like a third or a first in some stuff. I may have been slightly just over aggressive, or if you just want to be harsh, I may just wrong on it. I looked at a couple more trades that are in this, you know, sort of range. Khalil Mack is a great example. When he was traded the second time, he was age 31 at that time, which again, Hendrickson will be 31 this year. They traded Khalil Mack and a future sixth round pick for a second round pick, pick 48 overall. Just so you know, Green Bay has picked 54 overall in this draft. So it might take, in that situation, if that's what he went for, maybe you just, you know, nuke the sixth rounder out of that. But right around the 54th pick is kind of what Khalil Mack went for in his second trade. Not the first one where he went for a bunch of firsts and stuff. The second trade was a second round pick for Khalil Mack and a sixth round pick. All right. Another one that makes some sense was Von Miller at age 32 got traded for a second round pick and a third round pick. So a second and a third for Von Miller. I think that's probably a little bit closer here, a second and a third for Hendrickson. I'll also say this. I said a first and some stuff. It would not stun me if a first round pick was involved here. Now, I don't know that it would necessarily be pick 23 straight up, but pick 23 for Hendrickson and like a fourth, I could see something like that. I could easily see something like that where it's not quite a first round pick, but you know, you're getting a fourth rounder back in return, but it's still a pretty steep price. I think something in that range, and it wouldn't stun me with the state of the league and how valuable pressures and sacks and defensive play up front. We just saw it from the Eagles with how valuable that is. It would not stun me if some team just said, we'll give you a first round pick or even a first round pick in a sixth or a fifth. I don't think it gets that far after further evaluation, but it still would not stun me because he's that good, that talented, and was one like almost defensive MVP last year. That's how good he was. So I think maybe again, pick 23 for Hendrickson and a fourth round pick, maybe second round pick in LVN, maybe second round pick in a third round next year. That to me is probably somewhere where you're looking at for Trey Hendrickson here. And then of course, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, you get into this interesting position. Would you rather have a second for in Romeo Doubs for DK Metcalf or a second and some stuff, maybe a third, maybe LVN, maybe something like that for Trey Hendrickson? Gets into a very interesting scenario there as well. We'll talk about that a little bit later at the end of this episode. All right, let's get into our scouting report for Trey Hendrickson. Here were the positives that I had down after watching his tape. He absorbs contact in a really remarkable way. We're talking about some Black Panther stuff here, where he just gets hit, absorbs it, and then just goes right through it. I don't know that he has like the power burst that Black Panther does. I digress. But he just absorbs contact and just goes through it like not even there. Just like it's pesky to him. It's like, just get away. It's remarkable. You see these 300 and some pound offensive tackles that are going, that are the best, some of the best athletes, just these mauling dancing bears. And they go to contact Trey Hendrickson. And if you or I were to make contact with this 310-pound behemoth monster that can move at ridiculous pace for his size, we would get annihilated. And the most normal humans would, right? And Trey Hendrickson's just taking it. And it's like, he's just brushing it off. It's like it's not even there. It's really, really remarkable how he just takes a punch, or whether it's a one-hander or a two-handed, and just absorbs the contact like it's not even there and just runs right through it. Literal superhero stuff. It's really impressive to watch. He's got quick hands. Like we're talking about, there's one thing of having quick hands, but also quick hands and knowing how to use them. And man, does he not only have quick hands, he knows how to use them. Offensive line's coming up with this, with the hands to make contact, chopping down on him. And then as the offensive tackle is going to redirect him, now he's ripping through it. And all of a sudden, like the offensive tackle is just like, doesn't know what hit him. He's just getting out of his stance, getting his hands up. And all of a sudden his hands have already been knocked down. He goes to reposition and now he's ripped through. And all of a sudden you look the other side and Trey Hendrickson's at the quarterback. And you can see these offensive tackles being like, dude, I just got out of my stance. What just happened? What? It's really, again, remarkable to see how he absorbs this contact, but also the just quick, fast hands to just knock the opposing offensive tackle's hands away and go make a play. It's very fun to watch. He has some really great reps at setting the edge. So we've talked about Chase Young, Odengbo, and some of these guys where the run defense is a little bit lacking. Nobody's going to confuse Trey Hendrickson for an elite level, run defender and somebody that's setting the edge at this unbelievable high degree. But he is more than good enough as a run defender. And there are reps that he just sets the edge, anchors, and you're just not moving him. Again, he doesn't play a ton of run defense. We saw a couple hundred snaps or whatever. But when he's out there, he'll hang, he'll hold his own, and there are some really great reps out there. He can play in the dirt or standing up. So you can put him, you know, in the 3-point stance or line him up, you know, standing up. And we'll see from time to time, Jeff Hafley utilize that where sometimes it'll be standing up. Sometimes it'll be hand in the dirt, but doesn't really matter. And again, if ever there's a change in philosophy or defense and all of a sudden you want to go back to a 3-4, it's not going to affect Hendrickson in any real way. Goes right through offensive tackles like they're not even there. Again, we kind of talked about a couple of those superpowers already, but a variety of different moves and just the nuance of the game that he has. You kind of Davante Adams prime-esque, but on the defensive side, where Adams just had this knack of setting up corners and just like, if I do this, you're going to do this. And when you do that, I know exactly how to attack it. And there's a slow motion matrix level to Trey Hendrickson's game where you can tell he knows if he does one thing, it's going to cause a chain reaction to what the offensive tackle is going to do. And he knows what they're going to do before they even do it. And then he'll counter that with something else. And like, again, the offensive tackle just ends up in no man's land and they don't know what hit him. And he can see all of that nuance in real time. And he's just moving, his mind's moving quicker than what you are as an offensive tackle. Really, really fun stuff to watch. Draws a ton of penalties. So we talk about all the pressures and the sacks and everything like that. That doesn't even include the penalties that he draws. He's got good chase down speed from behind. Some, you know, running backs and players that get in the open field, he will chase them down from behind, and he has that ability. A really fun blend of speed, strength, and skill. So it's all there. There's not one thing that's driving this, although the skill has really gotten better over time, which has allowed him to take all of those tools and really exceed at a much higher level. Always feels on balance. And that kind of goes back to absorbing everything. It never feels like he's off balance or like out of control. It always feels like he is low center of gravity, on balance, and getting to where he wants to go, no matter what's happening to him in real time. And kind of what I was talking about, where the game is slowed down and he knows what to do, he will find the most minute of weaknesses, whether it's with your footwork or whether it's with your hand placement or whether it's with, you know, you thinking he's going to go outside and he can counter back inside, whatever it is. He will find that minute weakness and he will exploit it. He knows how to exploit it. Again, he is a savant at the position and knows exactly what to do before you even know what is going to hit it. He knows what you're going to do before you even do it. Like, that's the type of IQ he has as a defensive end as well. Very effective on twists and stunts and is also a very high effort player. Just total package stuff. Absolute total package stuff. The negatives, I got three things on this list. And the first one, if you are familiar with Arrested Development, you might enjoy this one. He's all right. He's just all right. And what I mean by all right is not all right, but he is all right. He only lines up on the right side, always and forever. You might get 5 to 10 snaps lined up on the left side all season long, maybe. And this has been throughout the entirety of his career. He is a right defensive end all day, every day. Not really much inside stuff, a little bit of, you know, maybe some right defensive tackle every now and again. No left defensive tackle, no real standing up over center, never on the left side. He is always on the right, which is primarily, I think, fine. You know, Rashawn Gary can play the left side. I don't think that's like a deal breaker, but he has not played the left side in his career. This is a right defensive end only. And one of the downsides of that is, if you've got a fantastic left tackle, like Ronnie Stanley gave him some trouble at times, not like shut him down, but you could tell Stanley was able to hang a little bit more, right? And if you could just switch him to the other side, you probably like Rosengarten a lot better. And like, well, we can just attack, you know, with him against Rosengarten. And he couldn't do that because he stays on that side. Again, not the end of the world, but it does give you a little bit less versatility, unless somehow at age 31, it unlocks and he is fine with playing the left side. I guess so be it. Maybe that's the next evolution for him, but it has not been that case in his career. He can get worked around the bend and just taken out of the play. We've talked about that with Rashawn Gary in the past, where sometimes he gets a little speed rushery and he gets up the field and the tackle just pushes him right past the quarterback and he's behind the quarterback, taken out of the play. The quarterback just steps up and it's an easy play for him. Or at least it's like, it's an easy step up in the pocket. And then you vacated an area as well. That will happen to Hendrickson from time to time. And then my only other negative, double teams in the run game sometimes give him trouble. Welcome to being a defensive end in the NFL. Double teams in the run game give pretty much every defensive end trouble for the most part. So nothing out of the ordinary there. Those are my three. Only right defensive end pretty much can get worked around the bend from time to time. Double teams sometimes give him trouble in the run game. He's just a very well-rounded player. as good as it gets. You know, he's in that upper echelon of player, and that you're going to have a lot of positives, not a ton of negatives when that happens. My verdict here, man, he's really refined his game, continues to get better and better and better and better. He's an absolute stud. He's everything you want as a defensive end in the NFL. Big time impact. If you're looking for impact, if your thought process going into this offseason is, hey, I'm just looking for impact players, it doesn't get much more impact than Trey Hendrickson. I mean, arguably top three, top five easies, and some maybe even argue maybe top one or two impact players on defense last year. I mean, Trey Hendrickson's in that conversation. Wherever you want to put him in that top five, you could probably make arguments for, but he's in that conversation, period, end of story. He can elevate the defense in a very significant way, and they already were a really good defense, top 10 in pretty much everything. I think he can elevate you to a top one or two defense. If everything else stays the same, and you continue to show some signs of progress, and there's no real step back, and now you've got a legit pass rusher that has as many pressures as your top two pass rushers combined last year, yeah, that's going to impact some things. And it's going to be a bit of a force multiplier that makes your entire secondary better because he's getting to the quarterback faster. Makes everyone better. That's a huge impact there too. So he can elevate the defense. He's an impact player. I'm not super concerned about the age. This, to me, all comes down to compensation, contract, and to some extent, DK Metcalf. Is there a preference here? If it's both a second round pick and a $30 plus million contract, do you want Metcalf or do you want Hendrickson? For me, I want Hendrickson. It's not even really much of a debate. Not even close. If it's a similar compensation, similar sort of trade comp, give me Hendrickson all day, every day. But it does, I think, come down to what is that trade? If all of a sudden it's a first and a fourth in LVN, that maybe changes some things. If it's a $40 million a year deal, that probably changes some things. What he ultimately goes for from a price standpoint and a trade standpoint is going to alter this significantly. $40 million, though, that's only four Tutu Atwells. Would you rather have four Tutu Atwells or one Trey Hendrickson? I'll take the one Trey Hendrickson in that situation. And then, you know, the other question here is, are you okay with it basically being your entire offseason? You're going to trade draft stuff, plus you're going to trade a ton of all of your free agency space, all of your salary cap space to go get him. Are you okay with that? If so, cool, then go do it. But that is another question that you have to answer. One of those players that were higher on the PFF grades was Khalil Mack. Would it be better to just go get Khalil Mack at half the cost for a couple seasons, even though he's a few years older? Like he was up, like at least in the same conversation of performance with Trey Hendrickson last year, not quite the sacks, but from an overall standpoint in the conversation, you can get him for probably half the cost and he probably is still going to play some really good football. And then you don't lose any draft picks either. Like those are the things you have to weigh out. But man, I'll say this right now. If we're talking next week that Goody went out and traded a second and a future third for Trey Hendrickson, gave him a $38 million a year deal or whatever it takes, we're going to be celebrating. We're not going to be frowning. We're not going to be like, oh my God, what did Goody do? We're going to be excited. I'm going to be excited about it. And we're going to talk about it in a very positive way. And I think it's going to be hard not to be excited about a deal like that if Goody were to do it. Whether or not he does it, I'll believe it when I see it. But it's a fun conversation to have nonetheless. And he would be a big time home run swing. And I think he would make a lot of contact with that home run swing to go out and get a Trey Hendrickson. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much, as always, for joining me. Appreciate all of your support. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, and Jay Conner. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.